This webcast is a service of SDPB. Good, useful, and full of wonder. SDPB.
All right, the last case set for argument this morning is Save Centennial Valley Association versus Brenda Magruder et al., appeal number 31091. Matthew Luckham, as president, will be arguing on behalf of Save Centennial Valley, and Caitlin Cook, as president, will be arguing on behalf of Brenda Magruder et al. Mr. Luckham, you may proceed with your initial argument. And these lights are really small, but it does turn yellow at 2 minutes, if you can see it from that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Distance.
May it please the court, Chief Justice, Associate Justices, Counsel. My name is Matt Lucklum. I represent the appellants, Save Centennial Valley Association and Charles Brown. Before the court today are three straightforward questions. Question one is whether or not the passage of the amendment number 2405 was a legislative act subject to referendum. The second question is whether a county commission, by operation of law, sits as a board of adjustment when it decides issues of conditional use permits. And third, whether the approval of a conditional use permit may ever be subject to referendum. Now, on all of these questions, the answers favor the voters.
Do we have to decide either of those last two questions?
Your Honor, no. This court does not need to decide either of the last two issues. The issue here, number one, the first issue, is actually the issue that's the most important. And if we are successful on that, writ of mandamus should apply and we should have our
referendum. Because the trial court didn't really address whether or not how the composition of the board or who has the authority or that sort of thing, or whether they can be heard by boards of adjustment or whether the boards are the same. I mean, that really wasn't addressed in front of the circuit court, was it?
Your Honor, it wasn't actually addressed, and in the opinion of the circuit court, it was silent on the analysis of those two issues. However, in the opinion and in the order, it actually granted the motion on the pleadings and the declaratory judgment. So it actually granted the county's motions that actually asked for that those decisions to be answered. But yes, there was no analysis on either of the second or the third issues. But what we are asking is for the entire order to be vacated, for this to be remanded to circuit court, and for instructions to be given to grant the petition for referendum, placing the passage of that amendment to the ordinance on the ballot, subject to public vote. Now, for a writ of mandamus to be able to get that for us, what we have to show is that there is a clear legal right to it, and a clear legal duty on the part of the auditor in this instance to put it on the ballot for a public vote. The clear legal right is established under 7-18A-15.1. The clear legal right comes from that statute, which states that any action by a county commission that is legislative in nature is subject to referendum by the citizens of that county. There is a carve-out, however, that prevents referendums on administrative actions of the county commission. Now, that's where the crux of this issue comes into play, whether or not that passage of the ordinance was legislative or whether it was administrative by nature. Our position, obviously, is that it is legislative. A legislative action under the statute is one that enacts a permanent law or policy. This court in Wang v. Patterson, a 1991 case, spoke to this and further clarified what a legislative act was. This court stated that a legislative act is one where, essentially, the common council or the county commissioners, act in a way that exercises their own discretion. If they act with discretion, it's a legislative act. Here, in our case, we believe that the county acted with discretion. They had a choice when they amended this ordinance. The choice was that they could choose which one of three separate approving authorities for conditional use permits is the applicable one, the one that they were going to assign that duty in the county ordinances. Because they had that choice, it's a legislative action. So discretion equals referendum when you really boil down to it. Now, the county's argument essentially is that...
So your position is that any time the commission has discretion on something that's a legislative action?
Whenever the commission has and exercises discretion, yes, it could potentially be, or most likely is.
But that's not really the test, because, you know, for instance, the statute specifically says that personnel decisions, which certainly involve discretion, that's not a legislative decision. So not every discretionary decision is legislative. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, Your Honor, yes. In fact, the statute states that anything that enacts a permanent law, lays down a rule of conduct or course of policy for guidance, those are legislative actions. In our opinion, the choice that they made to amend a statute, enact an entire new statute, was a course of policy. It was a permanent law that they put into place.
Well, the change was going from county commission to board of adjustment for purposes of considering CUP applications, conditional use permits, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So, if that was the change, the ordinance was already in place. We already had the county had already made a decision that conditional use permits would be considered and put in some requirements that have to be satisfied to make an application for a conditional use permit and how they're considered, all those sorts of things. That was already in place. So the only thing they changed was who's going to consider that. Is it going to be the commission or the board? So wasn't a program already in place by having the conditional use permit process in place, and was there really a change in the program with this change?
Your Honor, yes. There was a program already in place. The county commission was designated as that approving authority for CUP purposes. However, they changed it from the county commission to the Board of Adjustment. There is a large difference in those two entities. As this court has recognized in Beckin, a 2005 case, and Armstrong, it is of the utmost importance to distinguish between these two entities, or the entity that is the approving authority, because they're subject to different rules, different standards, different regulations. They're different bodies. The county commission is a political body subject to the will of the people. The referendum rights here are applicable here because it was a legislative act by the county commission. There is no referendum right for a board of adjustments decision making. So this was a policy change. Different statutes apply to the regulation of a board of adjustment as opposed to the county commission. Specifically, our issue here, and going forward, it's potential that the county commission's decisions on individual conditional use permits may potentially be subject to referendum going forward. And to change this amendment and to amend it to have the Board of Adjustment be the approving authority, that then eliminates and takes away the referendum rights that the county citizens already have in place, currently have in place. Because again, if a county commission is the approving authority, they make a decision using their discretion and not actually applying the objective criteria of the zoning ordinances themselves, then it is a legislative action. Then it is subject to referendum.
Well, and you're relying on Kirschman, which in that case was a county commission decision that allowed a conditional use permit to move forward with referendum.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirschman didn't say every single conditional use permit gets a referendum vote.
Correct. Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah, and we don't have a statute that says that.
No, we do not. But we do have 7-18A-15.1, legislative versus administrative. If the county commission makes a decision on one of these CUPs and they do not apply the objective criteria that has to be in place per the ordinance, and they are purely using their discretion, then it is legislative, subject to referendum. As Kirschman noted, at that point in time, there really weren't any criteria whatsoever in place in the zoning ordinances. This court found that because there weren't any objective criteria in place and standards for reviewing these CUP applications, that body, that county commission, was exercising their discretion, because that's the only way they could have come to a decision. And because they exercised that discretion, subject to referendum.
Is the Lawrence County ordinance different than the one that was in County and Kirschman?
Your Honor, yes. The as it was before the amendment, there were standards in place, objective criteria. However, with this objective criteria, it's a case-by-case analysis of these things. As this court noted, in Reconditional Use Permit 13-08, a 2014 case, it was actually footnote number one, that there are instances in which these decisions can be quasi-judicial and quasi-legislative simultaneously. for purposes of referendum. And it's if it's whether or not the question is whether or not the county commission applied that objective criteria that was in place per the ordinances. There can be all the objective criteria in the world in place, but if they're not actually applying it to their decisions, then it's subject to referendum under 18A 15.1. Yes. Now, going forward to the issue that the county brings up is essentially that the state legislature has taken this choice away. Again, we've talked about the choice between determining who the approving authority is. The choice is actually delineated in statute 11-2-17.3. In that statute, each county is allowed to choose and designate and specify who the approving authority is for conditional use permit applications. Specifically, the ordinance or the statute states that county's ordinance adopted under the chapter authorizes conditional use of real property, and this is the imperative language, shall specify the approving authority for those uses. And now that's the information, or that's the text that matters, because this court has looked at that text and interpreted it as a choice that's given to the states in reconditional permit number 13-08, also in Tibbs versus Moody County. This court has interpreted that to mean that there is a choice. The state legislature granted flexibility. They delegated the choice to each and every county, allowing for flexibility between how each county governs themselves. And that's important and pretty reasonable given the circumstances of South Dakota. Minnehaha County, Lincoln County, they're quite a bit different in makeup, their issues that they have, the questions they need to answer, than a county, say, Jones County, Sanborn County, Butte County. They're just completely different worlds with completely different needs. That's why this flexibility from the South Dakota State Legislature was granted to each and every county. And because this flexibility is in place by this statute, when Lawrence County amended their ordinances to change who the approving authority was, they exercised discretion in changing it to the Board of Adjustment. And because they exercised that discretion and made a choice between three bodies, that decision is now subject to referendum.
You know, the Chief Justice talked to you about this discretion test, and the statute that pervades this case that you've referenced already a number of times this morning, Mr. Luckham, doesn't talk about discretion. It says a legislative act, as you know, lays down a rule of conduct or course of policy for guidance. And whereas, by contrast, the administrative decision is one that merely puts into execution a plan that already exists or was required by the legislature. Mm-hmm. Is there an argument here that that latter one, the administrative decision, fits here? And it fits here because it codifies an existing practice, if not the perception that the county asserts concerning why it felt the legislature was directing it to that decision. Question one. And question two, if that's not the case, why is this laying down laying down a rule of conduct or a course of policy? Because clearly they have been doing this. In other words, the county asserts they've been sitting as a Board of Adjustment all along.
Yeah, I understand that, Your Honor. And even though they say that, it's completely irrelevant what they say that they are doing.
By the way, this is judgment on the pleadings. Do we have evidence of that?
No, Your Honor. There wasn't any evidence in the record of that.
I mean, it wouldn't be a judgment of the pleading stage. Right. Is there enough in the pleadings, I should have asked, to make that determination?
They have been stating, and I believe in the pleadings as well, there was some allusion to that fact. But our position is that that is irrelevant altogether. It's irrelevant because these zoning ordinances are the ones that actually grant that power and authority to operate as the approving authority. If you look at 11-2-53 sub 3, that states that a Board of Adjustment can act on these in these role as the approving authority, but they can only do so as authorized by the ordinance itself. So they get their power and their authority from the ordinances themselves. And unless the ordinance says, in fact, that they can do that, they can't do that as a Board of Adjustment. So regardless of whether or not the county commission's putting on a different hat, because it's the same makeup between the county commission and the Board of Adjustment, which is fine, they can do that. But just because they put on a different hat doesn't mean that they actually are doing something different. And if they are acting as a board of adjustment, which, again, this court distinguishes between these entities, it's important to keep them separate. So if they are sitting as a board of adjustment, and they have been doing that for quite some time prior to this amendment, and because that authority is given through the ordinance, there would be some question as to whether or not those conditional use permits that were approved by the county commission sitting as a board of adjustment, whether or not those are actually valid. They all may be illegal because every single power that is given on these zoning ordinances and these conditional use permits comes from the ordinances themselves. The ordinances prior to this amendment did not grant that authority to the board of adjustment. Now, Your Honors, if you do adopt the county's interpretation of this statutory framework, it would be eliminating, again, the choice that this court has already recognized, the choice between those three bodies, either the Planning and Zoning Commission, as laid out in 11-2-49, the Board of Adjustment, as laid out in 11-2-53-3, or the County Commission, as laid out in 11-2-60. One of those three can be the approving authority. If you adopt the interpretation of the county, this will be an implied repeal of each and every one of those statutes, as well as 15.1. I see my time is up, and I will take a seat.
Thank you. Ms. Cook, you may proceed with your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, law clerks, and students. My name is Katie Cook, and I represent the appellees and defendants in this matter, Lawrence County Commission. Before jumping into my argument, I do want to address a few of the points made by Mr. Lucklum and some of the questions that the court raised to Mr. Lucklum from the county's perspective. Initially, I think it's very important to note that the Kirschenman case, the Tibbs case, in re 13-08, and the 11-2-17.3, all of these predated the 2015 adoption of 11-2-53-3, which specifically vests in the Board of Adjustments the authority to handle CUPs. And so while there is analysis that is set forth in those cases, that analysis does not apply to the current statutory scheme at issue before the court.
So I understand your argument, your initial argument being that the county has no option anymore. It has to be the Board of Adjustment under the statute.
Yes, Your Honor.
Assume for a moment that that's not argument fails. Does that then default to a legislative decision in this case?
Your Honor, I don't believe that it does. And so that actually leads to the other point that I kind of wanted to address here, is that question about whether a county commission or board of adjustment having discretion automatically makes it a legislative act. And the county would argue that's not the case. And so if you look at some of the precedent that this court has dealt with regard to the quasi-judicial administrative sort of decisions, you look at how the board is acting. Just simply because the board might have certain, you know, statutes or factors within statutes that it has to require in making a decision, just because they have discretion in applying those factors to the decision does not automatically render it a legislative decision. Much like this court is tasked with applying the law of the South Dakota. There is discretion in the manner in which the court might interpret the facts or apply it to the law, but ultimately this court is not legislating. This court is making the quasi-judicial or judicial administrative decisions similar to what the Board of Adjustment might do. Simply because there are criteria involved that the board can consider does not automatically render it to be a legislative decision subject to referendum. And frankly, Your Honor, the county would posit that that interpretation actually flies directly in the face of the Schaefer decision and Kirschenman. The Kirschenman decision was a decision by this court in 2003. It predated the passage of 17.3. Kirschenman addressed the question of whether the Board of Adjustment was acting in a legislative or administrative manner. Notably, the court, in making that determination, stated that it was acting in a legislative manner because there were absolutely no criteria by which they were governed. Immediately thereafter, 17.3 is passed, which establishes the criteria by which a Board of Adjustment must evaluate a conditional use permit. And so if this court were to adopt that interpretation, that simply if there is discretion, it is legislative, it also contradicts directly with the Schaefer case. In the Schaefer case, this court was very clear as it pertained to, that case dealt with an initiative and then not a referendum, but the court made it very clear. You can't allow the voters to sidestep and do what a county can't. They can't come in and refer a CUP, for example, and allow the decisions of zoning to be done ad hoc by whims of neighbors. And so to allow, in this instance, anytime there's a legislative question to be subject to referendum, the voters aren't bound by the same requirements under 17.3 about what they have to consider in order to grant a conditional use permit or deny a conditional use permit. That position, that procedure, would essentially allow the voters to do something that the county cannot. The county is a creature of statute. It must follow what the legislature passes down onto it. And so to take that position and allow a decision on a CUP to be referred by the voters, you're bypassing all of the procedural safeguards and the due process safeguards that are specifically in place in the legislation. And so the county would disagree that simply because they may have some discretion in making these decisions, it doesn't automatically make it a legislative decision. And I think that if you look through the precedent on this matter, that makes it clear.
Does the enactment of SDC 11261.1 then play into that and kind of along the lines of what you're saying?
Your Honor, I think it does, because another thing is to take the petitioner's argument at face value, it would also require this court to essentially completely disregard 11260 through 11265. 11261.1 specifically addresses that a denial or grant of a CUP shall be addressed by a writ of certiorari. It is not, I don't know how that can be any more clear. And so if the court were to take the to accept the petitioner's position, it would require the court to completely overlook a very specific statutory scheme that's set forth for appeal of these issues. It's not as if petitioners are left without any recourse simply because they cannot refer it. They have recourse. It's specifically set forth in statute. They can file the writ of certiorari. They can have that review.
They have to have standing.
Of course, and that would be the other issue.
Which is a little different than referendum.
Yes, and that would be the other issue, though, Your Honor, that you've hit it on the head, is that it does implicate standing if, especially take Meade County, for example. Meade County, as you know, is a huge county. And so if every grant of a CUP or denial of a CUP would be subject to referendum, somebody 200 miles away who is not particularly aggrieved by the county's decision to grant or deny a permit would have the ability to essentially control that private owner's use of land. And that flies in the face of, I mean, the bundle of sticks. It flies in the face of zoning in general. You can't allow, again, going back to Schaefer, an unaggrieved person who doesn't have standing to control what somebody else does with their land. We're already loath to do that. That's why there are so many regulations with regard to zoning, and the statutory procedures set into place is to make sure that it's not an arbitrary and capricious decision based on what voters decide one day on one person's parcel, and then there's absolutely no standard, and they do something completely opposite the next time around.
So maybe Centennial Valley is a little late in challenging. Maybe they should have come in and challenged when the county set up the conditional use permit process. Maybe that's when it should have been challenged by referendum.
Absolutely. I think that it's critical to note that I believe the county would agree that the initial choice to adopt zoning back when it initially adopted a zoning ordinance, that would be a legislative decision at that point to adopt the zoning. At this point, 2405 is just simply essentially codifying state statutory requirements regarding the actions of the Board of Adjustment and the fact that statutes given the Board of Adjustment the unique power to deal with CUPs. And so it's similar to a collateral attack, Your Honor, where you've missed your chance to appeal it and now you're trying to fight it. But in reality, county is a creature of statute. It has no option but to comply with what the legislature passes down, and simply by amending their ordinance to bring it up to speed.
Well, the county wouldn't have to have a conditional use permit process.
Would not have to. That is correct, Your Honor.
There's nothing in statute that requires that.
The county would not have to have zoning.
Yeah.
I mean, Meade County, for example, doesn't.
Some zoning ordinances and not include the opportunity to do a conditional use permit.
Absolutely. And so I think it is important to note that, like I said, petitioners are not without recourse. It is not as if they have no ability to take the commissioners or the Board of Adjustment to task and disagree with the decisions made. They have the ability to, under SDCL 11261.1, to file the writ of certiorari. They have the ability to take the clearly defined procedures if the voters have issues with the decisions being made. And again, those procedures are in place to protect procedural due process, to protect the standing that you actually have to be aggrieved. You can't just be a general taxpayer that has an issue. You have to actually be particularly aggrieved. And allowing referendum in this manner, it simply bypasses all of that. And it's counter to not only the statutory scheme, but frankly, constitutional rights of property owners.
So direct democracy is not direct regulation.
You always get me, Your Honor. Yes, I think that's a fair summary of it. Is they're not without recourse.
At least not here.
Not in this particular instance, Your Honor. I would agree with that. And so I think the other aspect of this, I guess, just going kind of from an overall procedural view of this, is that here it's before the court on a writ of mandamus. A writ of mandamus can only issue if there is a clearly defined right. The fact that we are before the court today arguing about whether referendum is appropriate here should in and of itself tell the court that there is no clearly defined right such that mandamus should issue here. I think if you look at the complicated history surrounding the conditional use permits, I think it is incredibly important and informative to the court as to what the legislature is intending to do. There's a period from essentially 2004 when the legislature eliminated because as the court knows, initially the Board of Adjustment was granted the ability to deal with CUPs. In 2004, that was repealed up until in 2015, 11253.3 put that back and defined it. And so this court operated under a very inconsistent and unclear legislative scheme in trying to figure out what to do with this, because if the court were to take petitioner's position, it puts us right back to where we were in 2004 to 2015. It's a risk of completely inconsistent results, depending on whether the Board of Adjustment or the county commissioners is acting, different appellate procedures, different standards of review.
You don't disagree with Mr. Luckwam, though, that these are two separate entities, if it's the county commission acting or if it's a county commission acting as the Board of Adjustment. They're two separate entities.
Yes, I agree with that. The case law is clear that they are acting. They may have the same members, but the county, pursuant to 11260, absolutely can act as the Board of Adjustment. And they have their own, you know, separate rights, duties, and responsibilities associated with the manner in which they're acting. I agree with Mr. Lucklum in that regard. But to take the interpretation of petitioners all the way to the end, it would put us back in this confusion about, you know, well, if Moody County has decided to do this versus what Lawrence County has decided to do, and all of a sudden this court is right back where it was in that period of time where it's unclear what the precedent is, and it creates this risk of the inconsistent results and the, I guess, unfair ability of an appellant to have the same standard of review in front of this court, depending on simply how the board acted or in what manner the board was acting. And so, frankly, from a purely practical standpoint, petitioner's position simply cannot be. It essentially asks this court to disregard an entire swath of statutes that are specifically on point with regard to the appeal of a grant or denial of a CUP. It specifically would create this inconsistency again if as to whether the Board of Adjustment is acting or whether the County Commission is acting. The court can still read 17.3 and 11.2.53.3 together. You can read those in harmony, and that's what the court, you know, is supposed to do when interpreting these statutes. Simply because the passage of 53.3 specifically tells us now that the Board of Adjustment is the entity that has the unique power to deal with CUPs, does not mean that the remainder of 17.3 is irrelevant. It specifically deals with the issue in Kirschenman, where now we know we have to have criteria as the Board of Adjustment in granting these conditional use permits. We know that it can't be arbitrary and capricious. We know that they are bound by certain factors in making these determinations. And so to take a different approach when the legislature is so clearly attempting to clarify the inconsistencies that it created in 2004 to 2015, it makes no sense to go backwards. And so unless any of your honors have any further questions, simply the county would posit that the circuit court ruled appropriately, and there should be no right to referendum, and the grant of declaratory judgment was appropriate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Luckland, you may proceed with the rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. First and foremost, I would like to remind the court that what we are trying to do is have a referendum on an amendment of a statute or an amendment of a zoning ordinance here. We're not asking for an appeal of an individual conditional use permit decision. 61.1, as the county pointed out, it is applicable here for a certain reason. When you're talking about CUPs and referendums, sure, after a CUP decision has already been made. We are asking here for a referendum prior to that decision being made. 61.1 specifically says an appeal of a decision of a granting or denying a CUP. We're not asking for any of that. We're not asking for an appeal. We're asking for a referendum. They're conflating an appeal with a referendum, two completely separate mechanisms. One asks the judiciary to answer the question of whether or not it's a valid and legal decision that was made. We're asking if the public to decide, do you agree with this or do you not agree with this?
But if
completely
it's really
separate.
I'm sorry, forgive me. Yeah. But if it's really truly that narrow, Mr. Luckland, then why isn't it administrative?
Well, Your Honor, it isn't because the CUP or the referendum right still applies. So there is a different process here. If the commission and 15 or 7-18A-715.1 didn't exist, then I would agree with all of you that all of this would remain the same. There really would be no distinct difference between these approaches. However, because it does exist, because the South Dakota legislature granted that authority and that power and that right to referendum, we need to honor that without specific repeal of it by the South Dakota legislature. And we're talking about also the 61.1 is as an express mandate from the county or from the state. That's not true. 61.1 says writ of cert applies regardless of the form of the approving authority, and that was 2018. So why would South Dakota legislature put that language in there, regardless of the form of the approving authority? Because I thought the Board of Adjustment was the only form that we could have here. Also, 2018, simultaneous to 61.1's enactment, was an amendment to SDCL 7-80-30. 7-8, Chapter 7-8, talks about commissioners, their regulations, their laws, their statutes, their powers. That statute prior to 2018 stated that any commission action that is appealed is under de novo review. That was prior to 2018. In conjunction with 61.1, the legislature found it appropriate to add an exception to that. They said de novo review, comma, except for decisions relating to conditional use permits. Any decision related to a conditional use permit, look to 61.1. That's your only means of judicial review. That's your standard right there. Why would the South Dakota legislature in 2018 feel the need to go to Chapter 7-8 that deals only with county commissions? Why would they feel the need to amend that statute and put that narrow exception in there if they already knew and already intended for the only authority that can approve these things is the Board of Adjustment? Why would they even need to talk about the county commission? It would be completely irrelevant. To adopt their interpretation, again, you are impliedly repealing 17.3's choice that's given. You're impliedly repealing 49, which allows the Planning and Zoning Commission to authorize and act as a board. 53.3, that would be operative, but number 3 wouldn't be, or subsection 3 would not be. 11-2-60 would be impliedly repealed. Also, 7-8-30, that exception would be impliedly repealed. 61.1 would be completely unnecessary.
Just to be clear, these implied repeals would occur if we took the view that only the Board of Adjustment can hear conditional use permits.
Yes, Your Honor.
But of course, the broader question is this legislative or administrative decision in substituting the board for the commission?
That is the ultimate or the initial question. It's just that we believe this is a legislative action because they had choices, because there are different enactments, because there are different rules and regulations between each and every of these bodies.
Is it a new rule of conduct?
Yes, Your Honor, as it relates to the ability to refer these for referendum.
But you started your rebuttal by saying, don't worry about any of that. We're just here talking about this amendment. And that's why I asked you, isn't it a little bit broader than that? And doesn't your argument contemplate a little more breadth than maybe that you suggest?
Well, Your Honor, what I am saying is that if it's a legislative action because they chose to appoint a different approving authority, right? And that different approving authority, the Board of Adjustment, they have different rules and regulations. They don't have the right of referendum on any Board of Adjustment decision.
But they still have zoning. That doesn't change. They still have CUPs. That doesn't change. That seems like one way to look at a rule of conduct or policy regarding the guidance of citizens or its officers.
And I see that I'm out of time, but I would like to answer that question. The policy that's changed and the enactment that is permanent is the revocation of the referendum rights. As of now, as it stands or would have stood as a commission, there was potentially the option for a referendum on a conditional use permit decision made by the county commission. By changing that from the county commission to the Board of Adjustment, that right of referendum is no longer possible. It at least is possible when a county commission makes that decision. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. Cases submitted, and that will conclude our arguments for this morning. As I indicated as we started this morning, we were going to take some time for question and answer. And I'll excuse counsel. You don't have to keep sitting at the table.